Good morning. So nice to see all of you. Has nothing to do with the service, trust me. But it's interesting to see sometimes the patterns that we develop when we go to certain places. For years, I used to be a school teacher. And inevitably, all the students would sit at the far end of the room. And there would be nobody here in the front. And this is the pattern that is here this morning. But at any rate, it's nice to see you. This is that part of the service that is called the call to worship. Years ago, the call to worship consisted of bells, church bells. They would ring in nets to call the people to come to the service. In divine science, a call to service basically consists of trying to change the focus of our teaching, of your mind, from the things that are going on at home, in the body, in the workplace, in the neighborhood. And so what is it at this time? I'd like to change the focus of your thinking and simply remind ourselves that there is but one source out of which all things are made. Just one. One source for the peace of our minds. One source for the harmony in our homes. One source for the health in our bodies. So the question arises, where is this source? And I say to you that it is a realm of existence that has been called the kingdom of heaven. But this kingdom is not like any kingdom we have ever known, because it is not a place, but an awareness. It is a facet of consciousness that lies deep within each one of us. And there we can find a presence that is far beyond anything that the human mind can grasp. As a matter of fact, it has been written that the ordinary human being cannot understand the things of the Spirit because they can only be spiritually discerned. In other words, it is a dimension of life so absolute that it knows nothing beyond perfection, beyond wholeness, nothing beyond purity. And since it is an awareness, a state of consciousness, it's right where you are. As the poet said, closer than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. And a promise has been given to us all that those individuals who choose to dwell in this secret place will find themselves under the shadow of the Almighty. This is what prayer is in divine science. Our own individualized ability to establish conscious union with this presence. And it is here, in the deep silence of our own meditations, that we can feel a presence as if to say, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. Just be still and know. And so it is that this morning we have an opportunity to enter this silence in the deep recesses of our own minds and to acknowledge this that is holy and sacred and in the midst of us. And to help us in this spiritual realization, let us begin by sharing the statement of being that you will find on page 2 of your Sunday program. After the statement, we will have a moment of silence for personal contemplation and meditation. Let us begin. God is all, both invisible and visible. One presence, one mind, one power is all. This one that is all is perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is the individualized expression of God, and is ever one with this perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. At this time, I would like to ask the ushers to please come forward for the offertory. Most gracious God, for the blessings of life, for the blessings of that substance out of which all things are made, and for the love that you have given us to share of this substance with one another, for this blessing, O most gracious God, we give you thanks. Amen.
Thank you.
There was a story in one of the early publications of Divine Science. There was a magazine called Aspire Magazine. And the story concerns Nona Brooks, one of the founders of Divine Science. And the story is about an experience that she had as an elementary school teacher. She was told by the administrator, the principal, that during the coming year she was going to have one of the worst classes in terms of discipline and learning that the school had ever had. As a matter of fact, the current teacher of that particular class told her, "I feel so sorry for you. Because in the 25 years of teaching experience, I've never had a class as difficult as this one. It is the worst group of children in every way that I've ever had to deal with." Nona Brooks wrote in that article, in that little piece that came out, that the thought flashed through her mind that if an experienced teacher had trouble with that class, what was she, an inexperienced teacher, was going to do? But she said that she did not dwell on that thought for long, but on something that Paul said, which was that with God, all things were possible. And she decided at that moment to take a stand on that spiritual principle. And she writes that from that day on, she would remind herself every time the thought of that class came to mind, that in God there are no bad children, and that in God there is nothing to stop learning. Now, this particular article in that magazine was based on a letter that Nona Brooks herself wrote to another teacher years later that was also going to have a difficult class. And in that letter, she noticed and writes, "Note that I did not declare my authority over those children. I simply placed them under the guidance of an infinite intelligence." And then she wrote what I consider the most important sentence in that little article. Quote, "Our first reaction to a negative experience is very important." Let me repeat that again. Our first reaction to a negative experience is very important. And she continues, "If I had accepted the thought of these children as they appeared to be in the world, then my following year would have been very difficult, for I would be judging by appearances and not by righteous judgments." And so it is that I say to you this morning, that whether we are aware of it or not, when we first take up the study in Divine Science, we are really taking up a study of a spiritual way of life, which is totally different, contrary to the way you and I and most people have been brought up as children. For example, and I dare say that most of us react in this manner, and that is that when an unpleasant situation or experience comes into our lives, there is a natural inclination to think in terms of how to fight it. Some of us want to fight whatever it is that is not right. Or we want to know how can we overcome it. Or we want to know how can we pray over it. Or how can we treat the situation? But please notice that it is the thing itself, the appearance, whether it is a condition or situation, or even as a personality, that appearance has captured our emotional attention. But in divine science, we do not focus on appearances, but simply acknowledge the presence of God right where we are at the moment. It is not a matter of acknowledging not only what God is or where God is, but focusing on our personal, intimate, conscious relationship with God. Ask yourself, the relationship that I have with God, is it a conscious relationship? Is it a conscious union with God? Or is it simply wishful thinking? Perhaps it is nothing more than something that we agree with intellectually, that in God nothing is impossible, and then letting it go at that. This is not prayer, not at all. Prayer in divine science, or what is often called a treatment in divine science, has nothing to do with the human condition. We do not touch it. Prayer in divine science, or a treatment in divine science, has nothing to do with aches or pains or a sense of loss of anything. It does not concern itself with lack or limitation of any kind, whether it's physical, mental, financial, emotional, doesn't matter. A treatment in divine science, or prayer in divine science, is what the Bible refers to as righteous judgment. So what is righteous judgment? Righteous judgment is a matter of getting beyond the appearance and literally, not figuratively, but literally seeing the substance out of which all things are made. Literally, the breath of the Almighty that has given us life, that has given all things life. What this means is that all spiritual treatments is a progress that takes us back to the beginning. And in the beginning, God. How many times in the business world, in our own personal lives, do we start a project? Halfway through, you know it's not working out, so what do? Throw it in the trash can. Delete it. And we start all over again from the beginning. All progress in spiritual matters is going back to the beginning. This is not working. So why continue? It is a matter of getting back to that invisible foundation that stands back and within all things visible. And what is that foundation? God's creation. We had a retreat just a couple of days ago, and it was mentioned that God really wasn't a prolific creator. All he created was one thing, spirit. The very essence of himself. And out of the spirit, all things were made. And nothing was made that was not made of the spirit. And so it is that anything else that we do to remove a problem from our midst is nothing more than a mental exercise, or an emotional exercise, or a financial exercise. Therefore, subject to return. With another name, perhaps in a different place, in a different form, because the mind that brought it forth in the first place has not changed. We're talking about the law that divine science calls as in mind, so in manifestation. Let me remind you that changing one thought for another thought never goes far enough. It's still the same mind, but with different thoughts. Think of the house you live in. Changing the furniture in the house does not automatically make it a home. It's the same house in the same environment, perhaps with nicer furniture. We're not even talking about home, because it is the consciousness of the people who live in a house that make it a home. Not the size of the house, not the furniture in the house, not the appliances in the house. It's the consciousness of an individual that establishes harmony or inharmony, that establishes a pleasant or unpleasant environment, either in the workplace, in relationships, in the home. Even as we sit here this morning, we all can attain what has often been called answered prayer. All of us. But only in the degree that we can get beyond the human belief that appearances have power. That an appearance, whether it's as a personality or a situation, that an appearance has a power to bless or a power to withhold. It is simply a matter of practicing the teachings of the man Jesus, who said, "Take no thoughts. None whatsoever. For what you shall eat or drink, or wherewithal you shall be clothed," which are really the most basic of human survival activities. Just be still. That's all. Be still and know. Prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will provide, I will heal, I will bless, I will restore. But as long as our thoughts are centered not on that secret place in the midst of us, but on the problem at hand, nothing's ever going to change. Isn't it written, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve"? The problem or the answer? I dare say that generally speaking, people choose problems over truth. How am I going to solve this? Where am I getting the money to pay for this? Who is going to take care of me in my old age? This is being problem-centered, not God-centered at all. If you take into consideration where most of the thinking lies, it lies in the problem. I asked this question at the retreat, and I'm asking you also. Have you ever wondered why you are here at this time and in this place? And I'm not necessarily talking about since the day you were born up to this point. I mean right now. It's around 11:35 or so, Sunday morning. You and I are here for the very same reason that Jesus was here. He said, "To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." That's it. Period. You did not come to earth to be a truck driver, or a lawyer, or a teacher, or a businesswoman. Not at all. This morning, right now, you can be what you were meant to be in the first place. It all depends on your own personal willingness to turn within. It all depends on your own willingness to make a commitment. Not to anyone or anything, but to God. It's a matter of letting go of our human attachments. You and I are here to bear witness to truth, to show forth the Christ in us, to express the essence of our divinity. Your purpose in life and my purpose in life is the personal discovery, intimate discovery, I would say, as to what we are in God. And I dare say that our challenge on a daily basis, if not on an hour-to-hour basis, is to live our divinity out here in the world. That is quite a challenge. For that's what we are. Now are you the sons and daughters of the Most High. That's what's written. Now. Emphasis on the word now. We are the children of God. Not after we do this thing or that thing. Not after we get on our knees and say so many Our Fathers and Hail Marys. Quote, now is the appointed time. But the human tendency is to say, yes, I know what you're saying. All of it sounds very good. But you don't know what I'm going through. This may sound so unkind, but if I happen to be a divine sense minister, or a practitioner, or even a teacher, and you're telling me you don't know what I'm going through, I will probably say, you're right. I don't. And I do not want to know what it is that you're going through. Because if I'm not careful, I'm going to allow you to infringe on my thinking. And then both of us are going to be in the same boat. The blind leading the blind. Jesus did not come to heal the sick. He did not come to provide for the needy. He specifically said that he did not come to put peace on earth. Any more than he was here to pray for your benefit. He was here to establish a conscious relationship with God. That he might be able to bear witness to the Spirit of God on earth. Because it is what is taking place within that consciousness. The activity of the Spirit of God in him, now stirring and moving and alive. Or in anyone of us who is willing to take time to become still. This is what doeth the works. This is the activity, the conscious awareness of the Spirit of God. This union with God. Doesn't matter what we call it. This is the Father within that doeth the works. And again, people will insist that this is all well and good. But right now I am a human being. And I'm living as a human being. And as a human being I need help. They will tell you, how much proof do you want? Just look at me. Can't you see I'm hurting? And of course, every time we look, we mostly cannot disagree with the appearance. But that's not what we as divine sciences are supposed to do. Judge the appearance. To work with appearances, whether it's a personality or a condition, becomes nothing more than a mental or financial or physical manipulation. Because the human tendency is to agree with a condition. So many of us cannot help but agree with the temptation that stands right in front of us. Over the course of many years, every time, as I would, of course, every week I had to come up with a Sunday lesson. Every time I heard something that I thought I could use as a Sunday lesson material, I would try to remember it and write it down. Two weeks ago, I was going through some old papers, and I came across something that I heard years ago. It was a message from someone that I did not write down, but I did keep the notes on what this individual was saying. And the man was most likely a minister. I have no idea where I came across this, but handwritten piece of paper. The man was urging people that to be successful, we had to wear the label of success. And the label of honesty. that people who wanted to be successful had to wear the label of courtesy and decency. And these were the last sentences I wrote. This individual said, wear the best label around. Wear the label created by God. Wear the label of human being. Years ago, a man came with the news that the human is not divine. He said, call, direct quote, call no man on earth your father, for one is your father, and that is God. It is the breath of the Almighty that is giving you life. We are spiritual beings masquerading as ordinary human beings. And it is the human being that hurts and fears and lacks. And like whoever it was that was talking about the label of God, created by God, was a human being. Even after 2,000 years, men and women continue to hold on to old religious beliefs and concepts as to what man is. Nothing more than puppets with no control whatsoever to call their own. Divine science teaches that we are not to fight evil, negative situations, obnoxious personalities. Because when you fight, your entire attention is on the thing that you are fighting and that you no longer want. And unbeknownst to us, we are setting a law in action. As in mind, so in manifestation, perpetuating the very thing we no longer want. Divine science teaches that it is a matter of remaining emotionally detached and mentally indifferent from whatever situation or condition is before you. Because that condition is nothing more, and what it is that we're doing is nothing more than focusing on some aspect of the human condition. And that human condition has nothing to support it but the mind that thinks it. The condition or the situation is an illusion. It's a false belief. And it is the belief that hurts. A lie has never hurt anyone. An illusion cannot hurt. It is the belief that's going to kill you. As a matter of fact, we are told that whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. And all the while, that which is real and good and pure and perfect is here and now. Right now. A divine science prayer is not a mental exercise or a mental practice of doing something to someone or even to ourselves. That prayer is a realization of what we truly are. And then it becomes a matter of living that realization out here in the world. I don't know how many of you have ever completed the courses in divine science. But a lot of today's lesson comes out of those courses. Most of it from the fellow by the name of H.B. Jeffrey. And you'll find much of the material of Sunday lessons that you get from the classes. I would say to you that what I'm sharing with you right now, you'll find in different places in the higher training and consecration class. If you haven't done so, this sounds like a sales pitch. If you haven't done so, I strongly suggest that you take the classwork, and you will be surprised what you will discover, and what you will discover will be to your benefit. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is that you cannot deal with the problem at the level of the problem. Because by doing so, you're giving credibility to a lie, to an illusion. You know what an illusion is? A mirage. It's like driving in the middle of the desert and you see a mirage in front of you. And so what do? You drive hundreds of miles out of the way in order to avoid what is not there. Which is what we are doing with appearances. We often find ourselves in the midst of people who complain about how unhappy their marriage is. And then the first thought that comes to my mind, I wonder what we can do to turn it around. Or people who have been unemployed for months and months and months, and the first thought comes to mind, what is it that I can do to find employment for this individual? But remember what Nona Brooks wrote? Our first immediate reaction to a negative situation is very important. Paraphrasing her. In other words, any attempt to deal with an appearance simply delays the healing experience. Because we're given power to an illusion. In the coming days, if you were overcome by the temptation to do something to an appearance, if you're allowing yourself to offer advice as to how to get out of a bad situation, then we're no better than the thousands of counselors, financial advisors, bankers, or even less than them, if all we're doing is giving them an opinion. This is not what divine science is all about. It's not a matter of taking an imperfect individual and trying to make him perfect. That individual is already a child of God. And it is up to that individual to choose to be perfect, even as the source out of which he was created is perfect. What I'm trying to say to you is the predominant function of a divine science ministry is to give an individual the tools that will lift him from his humanhood into what he is in God. Cease ye this day from being that man whose breath is in his nostrils, and be ye that man whose being is in Christ. An individual once said that if he had the opportunity to stand in the presence of the man Jesus, he will never think of the man as being a medical doctor or a financial advisor or a marriage broker. He would go to him as one who would lift him beyond the human condition. What this man was saying was that he would not go to him for apples, but for the apple tree. Therefore, in no need of apples anymore. My friends, this day, you can change your life totally around. Make contact, or as the Bible says, acquaint now thyself with him. This is what multiplies the loaves and the fish. This is what heals the sick and feeds the hungry. You don't need to know how the physical body works. You don't have to know what the money market is doing. There's no need to know what the weather is going to be like tomorrow. What matters is that we become still. That we may hear the voice say, "Be not afraid. I am with you always. I am the Lord God Let's keep listening. Shall we make this lesson practical? Will you now join me for a few moments of meditation? It's simply a matter of forgetting the world. As the Master said, take no thoughts. None whatsoever. Turn within. Be still. Be still. And know that in the stillness, God is saying, you are ever with me, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be still, my beloved. Be still and know. For this blessing, O most gracious God, I give you thanks. Amen. And so it is that the Lord God in the midst of you blesses you and keeps you. The Lord God in the midst of you shines His love upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you peace.